Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you roar, when you cheer, when you are thrilled, for a brief moment, I'm 8 years old again.
The great and iconic Vin Scully addressing Dodgers fans. We lost him at 94 years old this week. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. No, Danny, his vacation is just getting started in the Outer Banks. You are listening to The Fan. And I got to welcome in our Richmond audience, who's going to be with me for the next 3 hours here, AM 910, FM 105.1 in Richmond. For everybody else, you've been locked into 106.7, our flagship, in and around the DMV. Taking you up to 6:30 tonight ahead of pregame and Nats Phillies. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler have your pregame show and then the game broadcast just after 7 o'clock. And it's one of the nights that's worth checking out, I got to be honest, because Josiah Gray's pitching tonight. So one out of every five games, you get to watch JoJo, who is at this moment the one true building block, young, organizational, vital piece that's in the rotation. It's not Aníbal Sánchez. It's not Paolo Espino. They're not calling on Leivan Hernández to come start to make sure they don't have to call up Cade Cavalli and give us something exciting to see. It's going to be Josiah Gray this evening in Philadelphia. So that's worth your while. At some point, a little bit later on, I want to get into what's going to break in the week ahead with Danny out, because you know something massive is going to happen in DC sports. So I thought it could be fun to actually take some calls on that. What could the story be when Danny's out that he's going to regret not being here for? On the Beltway Blitz coming up in 58 minutes, we'll cover the Commanders out at practice. But also, football-wise, Eric Flack's going to join us. Memorabilia from RFK Stadium, which includes, not limited to, seats, scoreboards, being auctioned or sold before a demolition. He broke this story exclusively yesterday. I was kind of hoping when RFK went away, they would do the thing where we all got to go out and stand there as it fell to the ground, but that's not happening. They're going to slowly, little by little, just break the thing down and we won't be there to see it. It's going to happen kind of in anonymity while we're not standing in the parking lot. But the D.C. government is working to address health safety concerns. I guess they need to remove asbestos and a bunch of other stuff for the 61-year-old structure. So we'll ask Eric Flack about that coming up in the Beltway Blitz at 4. I might have to get my hands on a piece of RFK Stadium memorabilia. What would I want? Maybe if you could pick the seat, that'd be kind of cool. We could discuss that later. All right, so I wanted to talk Vin Scully, and I have two questions. I've been thinking a lot about this over the last few days, and I knew that I was going to have a chance to kind of let my hair down and talk to you about this today, being solo, and take some calls from those of you who, like I do, love sports broadcasting and kind of the sausage being made part of sports behind the scenes. My two Vin Scully questions for you guys are, number one, why was he so great? What did he do that was so unique and so special that led to us all loving him? There's a lot of people who call games. A lot of men and women broadcasting games right now in the big leagues and in the National Football League, and you name the sport at the professional level, all the way down to minor league sports and college and high school. And I would say that his approval rating as a play-by-play broadcaster was probably the highest of all time. Why? What did he do that was so good? That's what I want to know. I'm going to give you some of my own thoughts on that. But many of you listened, watched, saw him for years. And you can call me and answer that question now at 800-636-1067. The MGM National Harbor listener line's open. I'm also going to check Twitter here in a bit, and I'll read some responses at Grant H. Paulson if you've got them. But this is the other question, and I actually think this one to me is what I'm more interested in. I want to know if anybody in sports right now is more universally beloved than Vin Scully was. And if it's even possible in 2022 to have an approval rating as high as his was. And what I mean by that is, by all accounts, he's one of the great human beings that you'll meet. He's one of the true mensches that we have. Never treated anyone poorly, just a perfectly good, decent man. Makes it easy to be beloved, I would say, right? Difficult to live life the way he did, as humbly and just as decent as he was. But it makes it easy to be beloved. But I want to know, in sports right now, I thought about this when John Madden passed, because as a broadcaster, everyone loved John Madden, same as Vin Scully. So why is that? That's a broadcasting thing. But I don't think he was beloved the way that Vin Scully is. And I would make the case, just like I did when John Madden passed, you cannot today, with social media, everyone trying to be funny and snarky and make the zingy tweet that goes viral, I don't think you can be as respected as these broadcasters were. In this, and maybe it goes for players too, right? Like, LeBron James is chasing a ghost in Michael Jordan, frankly, right? Michael Jordan, in a time where maybe you could, we didn't know as much about you as a person. We didn't know your flaws like we do now. There was a time decades ago that if you were mean to someone, we'd never find out about it. Now there's a video of you being mean to them. Now if you're mean to someone, they're writing a big letter and it's going viral and it's on every social media site and we know, oh, that guy's a jerk. So there was just this romanticism about players at one point in time that isn't the case now. But I want to know if you think anyone in sports, that's player, that's coach, that's front office, I don't care, broadcaster, is as beloved as Vin Scully was, because I can't think of a single person. And part of it, I think, is it'll just never happen again. It's a bygone era. It's over. But you can call me and give me your thoughts. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. You can tweet me at Grant H. Paulson. So let's start with this idea of why Vin Scully was so great. I think this is probably individualized and up to you and what your preferences are. When you listen to shows, you like some things, you don't like some things. It's like watching a movie, right? You like my style, you hate my style. That's fine. What I want, generally speaking, as a consumer of broadcast when it comes to sports, that's talk radio, that's watching a game, doesn't matter. I personally, my number one priority is I want to be enlightened. For a lot of people, they want to be entertained. Maybe that's you. You prefer Terry Bradshaw sticking it up on Fox NFL Sunday. There's nothing wrong with that. I find that character, that role, infuriating, largely. I don't need that. I don't want that. It annoys me. Please give me someone who's going to educate me. Get rid of the funny, you know, class clown, bumbling, silly guy, and give me someone who never played before, who studies these sports for a living, who will analytically break something down for me in a way that I'm not privy to. That's what I want. I know that I'm, again, a little bit different. Some people have different styles. But I want to be enlightened, informed. I want insight. I want to learn. So what do I want in a play-by-play person? I want nuggets. I want to know that that's the first time they've thrown on third and one all season because they ran the previous 13 times. That's what I want. from my color commentator, I want to know things I don't know. Tony Romo coaches me. Hey, when you get this look defensively as a quarterback, your primary look should be here. You show me the coverage on the back end, and you dissect that and break that down and tell me that quarters coverage, they're covering one-fourth of the field, means that my buzz route is here, and the thing that I'm looking for is seeing if this guy breaks this way. I want to learn. So my favorite color commentators teach me. I don't like platitudes at all. I don't like axioms at all. Like, if you're just saying stuff that sounds good, but that has no substance, you are not for me. I don't care about how cool it sounds. I want to learn. I want information, okay? So for me, when I think Vin Scully, I think he knew the players better than anyone else, and or whether he personally knew them or researched them or got information from someone else. I learned so much about every player every single night by watching him. He'd be calling an at-bat, telling me, here's Grant Paulson. His father was once on the school board in King George County. Worked as a defense contractor for the government for decades. His mother, a school teacher, taught art, also did daycare. Worked at the King George Parks and Recreation Department, now retired. Swung on and missed, strike three. He can't hit at all. Just like Little League, Grant Paulson, not a hitter. Like, you learn about these players. That's, to me, why he was so great. And just storytelling is the best. I don't think you can tell stories, really, as a basketball or a football broadcaster. Maybe sparingly you can mix them in spurts. But baseball, there is a romanticism because of the pace that allows for it. And there's no one who's ever been better at it. So my answer to my first question, why is he so great? For me, it's number one, he is the best at weaving stories into the play-by-play without making you miss anything that I think there ever was. And second, I just think that he understood more than anyone else before him that the athletes, the players on these teams, are the characters in this TV show. This is about people. These are humans. If you're just saying Clary stands in, different than Clary from Falls Church High School, has an older brother, younger sister, swung on and missed. He's a human being now, right? Vin Scully, better than everyone else ever at that. That's what I love. But I would want to hear from you guys who watched and saw him for many more years than I did, who are older than me, at why you think he was so great and why you think people believe that he was the best at it. Again, 800-636-1067. I got a couple lines open. And then the secondary thing here on why he's so beloved, I believe it is that he was just that good of a dude. Like, no one has a bad interaction with him. Every person I've ever met who's met him, they talk about how sweet he was. And I think he never came off as if he was the smartest guy in the room. You know what I mean? Like, he would tell you these stories, but it was more in kind of familiarizing you with the characters than it was trying to educate you. So I feel like there was this everyman vibe to him a little bit. Could be wrong, but I think that's part of it. I think people get turned off generally because, like, I love being informed. I have no issue with the smartest person in the room telling me what they know. None. But I think a lot of people don't like that. I think they want to be listening to someone that they feel like they can have a beer with. And most people don't even want to be educated or informed or, I don't think, enlightened. They want to be entertained. So they just want their buddies sitting around in a pool hall, sticking it up, and they like watching that. And maybe he was able to thread that needle a little bit. But I want to see what you guys think. And I guess more broadly, I want to know what you look for. Doesn't mean just game broadcasts, but in broadcasts. And whether it's talk radio or TV, like, what do you enjoy stylistically? I think every person's a little bit different. And I think times change constantly. We're in an era now, I believe, as a consumer of this and someone who kind of studies this, where I think more than ever, with everyone having their own podcast and everyone having their own Twitter account and being able to be a beat reporter. Like, people care less about a person's credentials and the time they've put in or the sources that they have or don't have. And they kind of just want to be able to relate to whoever's talking. Like, if you're just fellow fan, that's cool with people. As long as you're nice to them. I don't know, I could be off. Let's go to LJ in Stafford on Grant and Danny. What's up, LJ? How are you?
Good. How you doing? So I think the only other person I can think of offhand that would be anywhere close would be probably Dick Vitale, college basketball. I'm not really a college basketball fan at all, but anytime I hear him on TV, I catch myself turning the game on, and time passes by and the game ends, and I learn something new about basketball. He just seems so enthusiastic and energetic about it. Probably the closest that I can think of to the great Vin Scully.
That is a great answer. Had not considered Dickie V. So there's a couple things on Dick Vitale. The first thing is we're talking passion, right? And I should have mentioned that. One thing that is infectious is passion. If you can tell that someone loves what they're doing, how can you not enjoy hearing them talk about it? If they are energized and engaged and they're happy to be there, how can you not possibly get some juice out of that? That's a pet peeve of mine, frankly, is you see someone, and I'll just stick with calling a game, but you could say talking on the radio or doing a TV broadcast, whatever it is. If you're acting like you don't want to be there, why am I watching? This should be fun. I love people that are enjoying themselves calling games. Same as playing, by the way. Brett Favre, why was he so popular? I will die on this hill. That's one of the most overrated players in the history of the NFL. I'm just telling you right now. I'll go toe-to-toe with you on the numbers if you want to. Brett Favre, one of the most overrated quarterbacks in the history of the league. But, like all of you, most of you, I loved Brett Favre. Why? Because Brett Favre looked like he was having a hell of a good time. Brett Favre throws a touchdown, runs 50 yards downfield to tackle Donald Driver in the end zone. Brett Favre throws a big pick, and he's dying over on the sideline. Aw, shucks in it. You know, his arms are up in the air, and he's trying to coach up the wide receiver. He's into it. He's engaged. He's passionate. We want to see that from our players, from our broadcasters. No one has more fun than Dick Vitale. No one cares more about college basketball, loves college basketball more than Dickie V. It takes one broadcast to see that. Specific, though, to my question about is anyone as beloved, maybe Dickie V is, I think you just kind of got me thinking about something else, which is to say, I am willing to give you maybe that there are people who are as beloved, but I'll bet you they're grandfathered in. Dick Vitale's a great example, but he comes from that same era, essentially. We're talking about someone who's been around for decades and decades and decades. If you're a young broadcaster like me, who's 34, or Linnell, who does, you know, nights and weekends here on The Fan now, who's in his young to mid-20s, you're starting out. I think it's different now. This game has changed where if you are Dickie V or one of the literal, figurative, grandfathered in broadcasters of that era, maybe we all love you because we were allowed to at that point in time. Nowadays, everyone's got to pop off about why they don't like you or what stinks about you, or everyone's got to have an opinion. You just didn't see that. Like, Twitter wasn't around to talk about how Dickie V was annoying or you know, Vin Scully lets the game breathe too long. I mean, everyone would have critiqued everything if you had Twitter. Adam's in Fairfax. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Grant, how are you today?
Great, thanks.
Great. Hey, you know, I was listening to you when you started. I called right in. I think baseball's different. Vin Scully was the best. You're never going to get another one because he had no ego. It was like he was sitting right next to you telling you these stories. And he was just phenomenal. The only one I think that's even close in modern day is John Miller, who for some reason ESPN got rid of. I never understand why the Orioles got rid of him. I'll never understand. But as far as beloved, I think the only one is Bob Uecker. And I know it's a lot of shtick with Uecker, but it's Uecker. It's funny.
He's the best. Yes. I mean, and Major League changed the game for him too, obviously. I will see that, and I will say again, though, while, okay, my theory had a hole punched in it. Yes, you can be maybe as beloved where everyone universally thinks highly of you and the approval rating, presidential style, is close to 100%. I think you got to be from that era. Euchre's another guy. How long has he been calling games? I mean, he's in his 80s, right? He's decades and decades and decades. So maybe it was a difference in the times. But I want to hear from you guys next. Phones are open, 800-636-1067. Based on Scully passing at 94 this week, why was he so good? He's probably the best that ever did it, according to most. He was certainly a guy that I would put at the top of the list. And can someone even be that beloved anymore? You're listening to The Fan. DJ Darris spinning the tracks over there. Did you just mix out of something into something else? What was that? Did you have one of your earphones on and the other one like on your cheek? Like,
yeah, I was spinning the tables over here. No, I was trying to click on Billie Jean, which is what's playing right now.
Yes, it is.
But directly to the left of it is Another One Bites the Dust. And I clicked that by accident. So
it sounded like I was in a pool in Vegas, and you were standing like 15 feet above me with one of your headphones on, and you're like, "Okay, here we go," and you like start breakdown.
I'm taking requests. I'm spinning the hits right here.
Let's go. Darris Dameron, Ryan Clary on the production. I'm Grant Paulson. No Danny today. G&D on the Fan. Coming up at 3:45, we will win off the field. 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock. Separated by 1 hour, twice today at the top of the hour at 4 and at 5, our last two pairs of tickets. I'm giving one pair away at 4, one pair away at 5, Kid Rock and Foreigner, so make sure you're listening in 30 minutes and in 90 minutes. You need your Commander's fix? I got you covered. I'm talking running backs and Antonio Gibson at 4:25, and Logan Paulson joins me, the latest from out in Ashburn at 5 o'clock right here on The Fan. But I wanted to talk Vin Scully, no time like the present. Really, I want to talk broadcasting and kind of, you know, what plays and what doesn't these days. But I think Scully was the best ever. I told you why I personally liked him so much. It's the storytelling woven in and out of the calls of the games, and also just the fact that, and I was talking to Heisty about this during the break, he was by himself. He was a one-man band, right? So he's not playing off anyone. So there is a pace that I think was brilliant with him, that was made possible by, it's not up-tempo. He's not weaving in and out of commentary or putting balls on tees. It's just him and then crowd noise, him and then crowd noise, which I think really added to the appeal, to be completely honest with you. But we're also talking about if you can even be that beloved anymore. I just think people are more cynical. I'm not going to say people are worse now, but I do think that we know more about everyone, and I don't think that's necessarily healthy or a good thing. Let's go to Andrew in Stafford on The Fan. Andrew, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, Grant. Thank you much. Yep. I think you're right. You know, this, it's never going to happen again. And the on the player side, the only guy that comes to mind is Cal, and that may be a little bit of homerism. But even beyond that, I think the biggest difference between Vin and the other guys that have been mentioned, Vin did it in one place. Forever. You know, he wasn't traveling around the country. He wasn't going audience to audience. And still, any sports fan in America knows the name Vin Scully, no matter what city, no matter what market they're in. And that longevity with that one team, first, that's never going to happen.
That's a great point, too, right? Is there is something to be said for, and this is not to take away from him at all, but if you just do something forever, you kind of win automatically. Like, in his case, what I loved about Vin Scully is he didn't lose his fastball. I didn't think he got worse because his style was not up-tempo. His style was not high energy. So as you kind of lose energy as you get older or what have you, when you're broadcasting now and into your near upper 80s, he's still methodical and it's about attention to detail. He's still sharp as a tack, but he can tell that story, tell you that the pitch was a strike, and get back to the story. So he didn't lose anything. But I do think there are a lot of broadcasters, I won't name them, just out of respect to them, who are pretty terrible, who have been doing it for a long, long time, and they're that community's legend, like that's grandfathered in, and he's just your uncle, your grandpa, whatever. And then you listen to him, and if you're not a part of that community, you didn't grow up listening to that person, you're like, oh my God, this isn't awful. But that was never Vin Scully. And he did it forever and ever, and he never aged, it seemed like. Mike in Gaithersburg, what's up?
What's up, man? Hey, I love this conversation, by the way. So I think the only person now that's kind of revered and loved all the way around is Nance. Hello, friends, right?
Like, Nance, yeah.
You check the receipts, the NFL, golf, you know, he's kind of the guy.
But let me say this, Mike, Kanye style, I'm going to let you finish. Yeah. Nance gets a lot of heat, bro. People are out on Nance for this reason, and it's because Jim Nance is shticky. And I'm fine with it, but I'm just telling you that he gets crushed on social media as much as anyone for his, like, scripted. I don't have anything off the top of my head, but, like, say the Nationals win the World Series and he calls it. He's like, the Nationals are the nation's national pastime's best. And, you know, that little line he uses. And, like, 50 years ago, he uses that line and everyone just kind of claps like seals. And now it's annoying because it's not creative or it's scripted.
I feel you on that. But the one person I love that I wish could come back, and now with gambling being what it is, if Brett Musburger could be transported to 2022, the way he would talk about point spreads without talking about point spreads,
yep.
That's the one person I wish that we could have now.
100%. I actually got to do games with Musburger. I don't know that I've talked about this on this show specifically, but I did sideline reporting for the Little League World Series for 2 years in a row. And Musburger was on the play-by-play. Harold Reynolds from MLB Network was on color, who I still have a good relationship and keep in close touch with. And then I was on the sideline for ABC Sports, U.S. Championship and the World Championship games for back-to-back years in Williamsport. Musburger was cool to me. Reynolds was an all-timer. I mean, just another level. He took me and my parents out to breakfast at Perkins, I think it was, near our hotel in Williamsport. Musburger was professional and very kind and, you know, welcoming, considering I was a little kid and he was a legend. But the pipes, and you're right, with all that's happening now with betting, and he's at the controls. I don't know if he still owns or what his role is now, but I'm pretty sure he was heavily involved in starting VSiN, that Vegas Sports and Information Network that was on the radio and is on TV. He does play-by-play for the Raiders. They played last night, obviously, is their radio play-by-play guy. But you kidding me? You're not going to get me to say something bad about Brent Musburger. Stud. Let's go to Chad in Winchester. Hey, Chad.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
So I'm glad I got a chance to get in this twice this week. So I listen to you every day. So you kind of hit the nail right on the head initially with the storytelling ability, but I have a slightly different slant on it. You know, I'm 47, so in an era where when I was young, we didn't have cable or satellite TV. So when we watched baseball, it was a big deal. And for most cases, I remember Vin Scully being the broadcaster, so it's kind of like growing up watching Vin Scully in my home was a treat. And in terms of, you know, it's funny you were doing that impression, just like I literally was doing the same thing before you did it. I'm like, it's 2-2. We went out for steak last night, and Kirk Gibson's mom was at table 2. We swing and a miss. We got it. So it was funny you did the same thing I was doing. But
everybody's doing it. Because you know why? Thank you for the call. That's Vin Scully. And everyone tries to replicate it. They just don't do it as good. I mean, maybe they do, but it's not in his voice, and we don't have the memories, and they didn't call all the great moments in baseball's history. So it just doesn't mean as much. But the word that comes to mind with what you just said was nostalgia. For you, you remember there was an infancy of your baseball fandom that he was a part of. And so that part of it, which is nothing that he's doing different than anyone else, but it just... it's part of why he was so special. Bill's in Oakton, home of the Cougars. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Grant. Great topic.
Thank you.
I think, you know, Vin was fantastic, obviously, and to try and answer your questions, I think a big part of it is you've done it for a long time, obviously. But the second part, honestly, I really don't know because, you know, Harry Carey was beloved. I grew up in Chicago. I can't think of two different type of styles, and also then like a Harry Carey versus a Vin Scully.
That's a good point, yeah.
And then if you go to basketball, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but, you know, Dickie V takes a lot of heat. Bill Raftery is beloved. And I would just, I don't know why. I mean, I love Bill Raftery, not a big Dickie V fan, but, I mean, maybe, I don't know. Bill Raftery's a little less shticky, but he's shticky.
Yeah.
And to your other point about like styles and things like that, and there have been announcers who've been around for a long time in local markets and they're beloved. And I don't, I mean, in New York, Sterling, I don't know if that's who you're not naming or anything or talking about.
No,
but I mean
Sterling's just, he not only lost his fastball, but his changeup and his curveball and his slider. But yeah, they love him. I mean, they love
him. Yeah,
John
and I'm
Sterling.
Like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's personal preference. I mean, it's
exactly.
So, but I think the only thing that seems like a common denominator is you've done it for a long time, and for some unexplainable reason, you connect with the audience.
Correct. And he is an example of it's just the guy that's been doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a New Yorker now, talking about how good our pizza is, right? I'm walking my dog here. I took John Sterling with me to picnics. I brought him with me on every car ride I went on. When I'm working in my garage, he's with me. I mean, when you're doing it forever, you're just my guy. I mean, he just becomes, so if you punch through the wall of, and maybe early on, he just crushed it. It's just not for me, stylistically. He's over the top. You know, everything's pre-canned and pre-prepared, and he's launching into his, you know, his shticky spiel. I can't picture it. You hit a home run, but you're telling, an A-bomb for A-Rod. Did it go to left? Did it go to center? Did it go to right? I want to picture the damn homer. I'm sorry. I'm in my car. Did it just clear the fence? Is it in the second deck? I'll never know. All I know is, an A-bomb. It's just, it's not for me. It's for someone. It's just not for me. Mike's in Alexandria. Hey, Mike. Mike?
It's Mike or Marty?
Are you Marty?
I'm Marty. That's okay.
I apologize, so personally.
That's okay, Grant. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. So he had, not only did he have a great baseball voice, but and the stories, but it was the way he weaved the stories and his cadence. And the way he would pace the story as it went along, it was very comfortable to sit into a game with Vin Tipset.
Thanks for making it. I think that he sounded like a guy that had no ego. I don't think you can thrive in this business anymore sounding that way, is what I would tell you. But he came up in a time where you probably could. And he probably did have no ego, based on everyone that I talked to who knew the guy. This will sound bad, but this is just genuine. I mean, he's one of the few people in sports probably that I'll never get to meet that I wanted to. As of right now, like on a short list, if he was still with us, he'd be on the top five I would have told you a week ago of people I've never met that I want to. And now that's not happening. It stinks. But every person I know who knew him, had met him, had spent time around him, says what a great person he is. There are other broadcasters like him I hear the same things about, and I have to take it as gospel because I always heard as an example how great Ernie Harwell was. I was just talking to Heisty about him, the old broadcaster from the Tigers. Loved Ernie Harwell. He used to do a great bit where there was a foul ball at Tigers games. He would make up who caught the ball and where they were from. And so when I got to do two Nats games on Masson last year, I did that bit just because I loved Ernie Harwell so much. And so it would, the idea being, that ball was caught by a fan named Tim who came in from Bethesda, got in his seat just before the game started. Everyone's like, how the heck does he know who that was? Ernie Harwell didn't know. He was making it up. It was hilarious. But I bring this up to say that I met him, and he helped me on a paper in college, and I left a voicemail on his home phone, and he called me back, and for hours and hours and hours, he would answer all these questions, and I wrote the paper, and my professor happened to be a fan of the Tigers, and his idol was Ernie Harwell. And he thought I had completely cheated on the paper. He thought I made it all up. And I'm like, no, like Ernie Harwell literally said all this to me and gave me these quotes. He just couldn't have been a cooler dude. So based on getting to know him after everyone had said what a just true legendary human being he was, I take it all as gospel on Vin Scully. Bobby Alexandre, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, so I'm thinking about, you know, Vin Scully, greatest of all time, what he did, longevity and everything. But I'm thinking, how about old John Madden? A down-to-earth dude, got soup on his shirt. He would explain stuff to you that you almost didn't know with his little circles and stuff. I think that cat's up there with a good broadcaster.
Totally. Also hilarious. Inadvertently and advertently. Hilarious. Just, that was like, eat your popcorn, can't be fun, John Madden. The best. All right, last word on this. Let's go to Ernie in Fort Washington on the Fan. What's up, Ernie?
Oh, I'm doing all right. I think everybody's talked about his longevity. His longevity came more so because he basically just did his job. A lot of the broadcasters that are coming out now are trying to recreate the wheel and trying to be like, you know, a dog and pony show that you don't have to do.
That's
I think
true.
That's one of the reasons why I was pleased with when Charlie Flo's got the job with the Nets. I remember back in the day him as a Bullets broadcaster, and I knew we would be in good hands with him as a Nets broadcaster.
Yeah, and he's been amazing with Jags for a long, long time. Yeah, it's not about you. I think it's a great thing to remember for just in general broadcasters, but story after the game is the wacky thing you said. You probably didn't do it the right way. If the story after the game is, oh, listen to this weird thing that had nothing to do with the game, how funny is this? You probably should go back to the drawing board and focus more on the thing you're calling. Vin Scully got that. Kind of wrote the book on that. Let's win off the field next. I'll tell you what little thing has gone right in my day that I'm particularly happy about. You're going to tell me what little mini moral victories you have. Maybe our producers, Darius and Ryan, have a winning off the field they'll pass along. Top of the hour, Beltway Blitz, and two tickets to Kid Rock and Foreigner right here on The Fan. And then what? Oh, okay. Thank you, DJ Colin and company. It's time to figure out how we're winning off the field in the nation's capital. These are little, teeny, tiny, mini moral victories. Something that nobody else will care about but you. Beltway Blitz comes your way in a little over 10 minutes. Talk running backs in the 4 o'clock hour. By the way, just got a text, so add this to the rundown. Ryan Kerrigan's going to stop by today at 4:45. I want to ask him about wanting to be a coach, so we will do that in a little under an hour. Logan Paulson's on the show, latest from Ashburn at 5 o'clock, so it's going to be busy. But looking forward to catching up with both of those fellas. So Kerrigan, less than 1 hour from now, spread the word. Time to figure out how we are winning off the field. I'll give you one, I think. I came downstairs today, and both my daughter, who's 3, and my son, who's 1, we're calmly sitting on the couch watching a movie. Now, you would say, why is that interesting? And to that, I would say that my son, up until the last 2 days, has never had the attention span to sit on the couch and watch something on the screen. And it seems like this week we are turning a corner where I might be able to, I don't know, like put something on TV, like Cocomelon, and take a shower and come back, and he won't have been bleeding or broken anything. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
It is a real game changer. Now, there's a lot of people in their car going, oh, what a terrible dad using screens. Shh. Oh, just put your son in front of the TV, why don't you? Shut up. Shut up. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
I will also pay attention to him. But it is nice occasionally for me to be able to, I don't know, go put an envelope in the mailbox and come back in without massive destruction. Let's go to Rich, who's in Olney. Hello, Rich.
What's going on, Grant? How you doing, man?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. I threw a big-time barbecue. Maybe 30, 40 people came over and got lots of good friends. Everyone brought so much food and drink that it is now Friday, and I am still eating and drinking leftovers from said barbecue. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
That is the one good thing about throwing the barbecue. There's a lot of setbacks, drawbacks, like, you know, having to clean and then clean again and all of the prep and the money being spent. But you do occasionally, people will just leave that liquor bottle they brought over. They'll leave that wine bottle for you. Tommy in Ashburn, how are you?
Hey, Grant, this is my thing. Just great topic, because just this happened today. I had a business meeting. Unfortunately, I had to wear a suit in this heat, and I've been missing this, my favorite pair of sunglasses, for like 3 weeks. I went out and bought 2 pair, neither of which suit me. They don't fit right. They hurt my nose. Mm. As I was going into the meeting, I reached in my left coat breast pocket, What is that? I pulled it out, and there were the sunglasses. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
You get it. You know what's going on. By the way, the nerve of your workplace to ask you to wear a suit today. The audacity of that work establishment. Let's just do what they do on Masson TV. If it's over 85, you shouldn't be wearing a suit. There's like a temperature rule for Bob and Franny. If it's over a certain temperature, they just wear their Nationals polo shirts.
How dare you?
Yeah, the nerve of this place. Ben's in Rockville. What's up, Ben?
So I basically just received some interest for another job offer from someone else, and my current employer in the hospitality has no idea, and I haven't told them, and I do not plan on telling them. I plan to pursue this current one. So in that case, I'm definitely winning off the field. I'm sorry to my current employer.
Winning off the field?
Hopefully they're not listening right now. I would advocate for letting them know at some point. Just that, you know, at some point before you roll out, you might want to say, hey, by the way, got another thing brewing over here. You guys got one real quick you want to squeeze in? Ryan, what do you got for me?
Yeah, so after yesterday's debacle, I kind of hit someone in the parking lot yesterday.
Kind of.
A little scrape. No big deal.
For people that weren't listening yesterday, when he says he hit someone, he didn't hit a human. He hit a car.
Yeah.
He sideswiped a car, which he said on a note, I'm sorry, I sideswept you, which I loved.
All right. So, yeah, I left that note behind, left my contact behind, and I was expecting to get grilled by some email, and this was the email I got. Hi, Ryan. I'm the owner of the car in the garage of Half Street Southeast that you left the note on. Thank you for your honesty and accountability, but the damage is minimal, so I'm not worried about it. Thank you for being such a stand-up guy. Take care. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Let's go. I love it.
Stand-up guy.
You're out of it.
I'm out of it, and I'm a stand-up guy.
You should feel even better about that. And you are. You left a note. Not everyone does. You're a stand-up guy. And you came up here panicking and had to be told to leave a note, but that's beyond the point.
Yeah, that person will never know that my first intention was to go upstairs and act like nothing happened.
Right. But
thankfully, we have good people in this building that encourage me to do the right thing.
The only reason you left a note was because there were cameras in the area. Having said that, she doesn't need to know that. She thinks you're a stand-up guy, and everything's fine.
She'll never know.
I'm happy that you're happy. Darius, what do you got?
So my buddy's birthday is this week, and his wife is throwing him a little birthday get-together in the backyard. She's got a big inflatable projection screen that we're going to have. We're going to do a backyard movie night to celebrate my boy's birthday. So therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
That sounds amazing. Do we know what movie you're going to watch?
That's the one part that I'm not winning off on the field for. I don't know what movie we're going to see.
Okay.
So I'm a little concerned.
Wacky bit. We went to see my wife's grandmother at the place where she's staying with a bunch of elderly folks. Really, really good establishment. Really nice place. And we went in and it was like movie day as we were visiting her. And they were playing Big Mama's House. I just thought that was the funniest thing in the world. Like all these people are like, it's movie day. They're getting like wheeled into this big room, you know. And I'm like, oh, I bet you they're watching something silly. Like, let's see what they're watching. And it was Big Mama's House. I thought that was so funny. Beltway Blitz is next. Ryan Kerrigan, 4:45. Logan Paulson at 5. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Winning off the field.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.